20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You know my guest, the one and only Mike Wall. You can find him on social media at MikeWall68. Process to perform and right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast channel as well. If you missed our live show on Monday, highly recommend checking it out. We spent that show primarily talking about Packers-Vikings, some of the takeaways from that game. We talked a little Matt LaFleur as well. Today, we're going to primarily be talking about the Chicago Bears. But Mike, before we get there, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Fantastic. Let's talk some Bears, baby.
Let's talk Bears. Let's talk playoffs. This is the best time of the year. And it feels like these wild card matchups are even better than usual. I cannot wait for this weekend. To me, headlined by Packers-Bears. I might be biased, but that's a hell of a football game. Let's start right there. Packers-Bears, I think everyone kind of gets what they want. I think the Bears probably wanted to play the Packers. I think the Packers probably wanted to play the Bears. I think the NFL wanted this game to happen. I wanted this game to happen. Fans on both sides want this game to happen. So what are your initial thoughts on Packers-Bears in this huge matchup this weekend?
Yeah, given the fact that they're the seventh seed, I don't think this could have turned out any better. I would much rather play Chicago than have to go to Philly and play the Eagles for a number of reasons, most of which are on their defensive line. Listen, this is a game that we've already had two very closely contested games. The Bears continue to show that I think they've improved a little bit up front, maybe on their defensive line, but I mean, they're still going up over 5 yards of carry on the ground. They're still, you know, bottom third of the league in points per game on defense. Like, this is a team where you just feel like if you were ever in a rut or if you can just hold on to the football and not give, you know, not lose a turnover batter in a disastrous way, you just feel like you should win this game. On paper, I feel like the Packers are the better football team. And I don't know how many teams in the NFC at the top we can say that about, but yep. I think Seattle's really good. I think the Rams are always a tough out. I think the Eagles in the playoffs, the Eagles are an extremely tough out. I think the Bears are kind of the team you want to line up against if you're the Green Bay Packers or really anybody coming in, even though it sounds like, you know, being at the two seed, you go like, oh my God, like this used to be a bye week for them. But how the world has changed. This is fantastic.
By the way, we went 3-for-3 in Mike Wall teams making the playoffs this year. So Seahawks, Panthers, Packers, all three in the postseason.
I tell you what, that Panthers is going to be one and done. The Seahawks, I know we want to talk about this game, but the Seahawks defense is
insane.
Unreal. Unreal good. That's going to be, I'll just tell you from experience, having to play in the playoffs up in Quest or Lumen Field, whatever it's called now, is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. Add that defense. And, you know, it's like they got their running game going a little bit. If Sam Darnold just plays an average Sam Darnold football game, they are going to be a really, really tough out.
I feel like them and Houston are very similar in the fact that if they just get good quarterback play, the way that those two defenses are playing, I don't know that anyone's going into this like being like, ooh, Houston, Seattle, Super Bowl, sign me up for that. But that would be a hell of a defensive struggle in the Super Bowl. And both those teams are playing insane defense right now with quarterbacks that have had their ups and downs. And again, if you get good quarterback play from Stroud and Darnold, look the hell out. Those two teams are going to be really difficult to beat.
Yeah. Houston's defense is, I mean, best in the league. So much fun to watch. Denver's over there too. The AFC's got some good squads going. I tend to think that Houston's going to have a struggle to put points on the board. I don't think their run game's great right now. I love Nico. I don't know how many other weapons they. Dalton Schultz is a serviceable tight end. You know, CJ's playing better. But that defense is so much fun to watch. And I mean, shoot, man, Darnell Autry is looking like an all pro. I mean, they are just absolutely killing it over there. Will Anderson Jr. from day one has just been an absolute pleasure to be able to watch play football and be a leader and all, you know, kind of everything he brings to the table. And what a swap, by the way, with Jonathan Grenard and
Danielle Hunter,
like just swapping teams, then both just being like absolute ballers again. You know what I mean? Like, what, like you guys were doing it on your teams and then you just literally switch sides and now you're just awesome, you know, still awesome. Kind of an interesting trade for both teams, but I honestly, if we go back to the Packers, like I there's not a matchup in this game where you're like, I don't like that matchup. You know, probably our defense. I'm always going to say our defensive line because they just don't look like they do particularly anything well right now. But aside from that, and I know the Bears run, you know, it's like the Bears running game is ridiculous. I think they're like third in the league in like yards per carry. They don't run the football.
It's weird.
They ran the football like 18 times. They let Caleb Williams drop back over 35 times last weekend, and they only scored 16 points. It's like the same thing we talked about against when we played the Packers twice. It's like, why do you – I don't understand this. If Ben Johnson, you know, first-year head coach, culture change, he's done so many – might be coach of the year. He's done so many amazing things. But if he goes early out in the playoffs – and he looks back, he's going to go, I got to not do that again. That was stupid. You know what I mean?
You would think you would learn from the first two Packers games of like, why did we not run the ball more? It's really, I do think that with some of these coaches, they're so like zoned in and tunnel visioned on like, we're going to set up our big plays down the field. Like we're going to run the ball and do stuff to set up some of our explosives that they almost like, they're focused on that, and they aren't realizing in the moment of like, oh, we're picking up 6 yards of carry on the ground. Maybe I don't even need to set up the explosive. If I just keep handing the ball off, they're not going to stop me. Baltimore obviously did a phenomenal job of being like, yep, we're just gonna keep doing this. We don't need to do anything else. We're just gonna keep handing it off. But I do feel like in both games, Packers and Bears, that they got away from the run or just tried to be too cute with it on too many occasions, and it cost them once. It almost cost them twice.
It did, and they have tight ends that can block. I mean, they're built to be really sick. They have two good running backs. They just have everything they need from a formula standpoint. They have a massive right tackle. They have great guard and center play at the left guard, at least. I just have no idea what compels them to drop back 35 plus times, and especially in a game like last weekend's game against the Lions. And you watch the tape, it's just Ben Johnson's such a good player. I mean, there's so many, like, even when he throws, like, even when Caleb threw his first pick in the end zone, I mean, there's a wide open player across the middle. You know what I mean? So it's like Ben's got guys that are so wide open. Maybe Ben's just like, well, that was the right call. You know, he goes back and goes, right call, wrong decision. You know, the guy's open, he's 20 yards. You know, he probably walks in the end zone too.
Yep.
So I could see, you see all that, and you know that, you know, if you're an analytic based football coach, which Ben is, he wants explosive plays, and he's probably willing to trade out of some of that consistency in the running game to get a chance at another bite at the apple with some of this explosive stuff. Cause you know, the Lions, if you look at the Lions and the Bears in our division right now and just say like, what scares you? Well, they both have incredible running games, great running backs. They both have quarterbacks that can throw tight window, but they throw – it's like Caleb Williams and Jared Goff, but Caleb Williams, since we're playing him, the thing that he does that's amazing is he throws tight window like glance routes, like deep ends. Like he throws those intermediate to longer routes, hard, tight window throws, accurate. You know, he is really, really good at that. And so if you've got that formula down – and you start looking at, you know, like, what would you do if you were the play caller? Like, if you're going to, are you going to give them 10 of those a game? Are you going to give them 12 of those a game? You know, you're going to give them those opportunities because that offense is designed for it based on that, the ability of that quarterback to fit these tight window throws on pace. And, you know, as everybody knows, like Nick Saban used to always say, he's like, I don't throw the ball to Julio Jones running a curl. Like, I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? Because now he's as slow as I am.
Yeah.
So he, you know, we're going to throw to our guys on the move, and they do a really good job of that.
The other thing too, and we've talked about it, but Caleb's escapability in the pocket of even if you do get to the quarterback, which is we've talked about a major issue for Green Bay right now. I mean, man, if Enagbare, Rashawn Gary, or any of the defensive tackles or any of those guys get there, I don't even have faith that they're going to be able to chase him down and actually like get him to the ground, you know? So even if they do find ways to win up front, he is a pain in the ass to try to get corralled. And there have been so many plays, not just against Green Bay, where I've watched of him where it's just like, well, he's dead to rights. Oh, he's out of it. And like, didn't even break a sweat doing it. And it's really remarkable what he can do. And I do give him credit too, because he can run, but he does keep his eyes downfield and try to hit some of those explosives. And he can obviously do it at a very high level.
This is one of those games where I would, if I was coming in fresh, and I know we don't run this defense, like I would run a three-man line in pass rush situations against him, maybe spying with an extra backer or safety. But it's, you know, going back to the old Belichick, like drop eight, like I'm not going to get there. Like, you know, we're not going to get there. We're not good enough. And if we do get there, you're not going to do anything with it. So why waste your time? It's almost like, you know, that slow drain pressure of he's almost waiting for the rush so he can escape and then you can trigger a guy. Like, I think that almost makes more sense now than wasting, you know, wasting an extra man on a four-man rush when it doesn't, like, you to your point, even if they happen to win their rep, it's like, do you feel good that they're going to be able to get him down?
Yeah. They brought a lot of maybe as aggressive, I'd have to go back and chart it, but they brought some corner blitzes, especially off the right side, to try to get him. Maybe if you are going to have to roll out, you're going to have to roll to your left, which he is very capable of doing, but you'd rather have him rolling left than rolling right. And when he rolled left, that was his pick to Keyshawn in the first game that sealed the game too. But I think Jeff's going to have to be extremely, extremely creative with how he gets Caleb off of his spot, but you don't want him escaping either. It's just, it's a tough situation. And that's, I'm sure, what Ben Johnson's thinking of too, of like, you can't get to the quarterback and I can scheme up stuff. And so why am I not going to throw the ball? But at the same time, I look at it and just be like, I don't know if Green Bay's run defense can stop you if you consistently run it either. But it's just going to be fun. I think it's going to be a high scoring, really fun matchup. Yeah, on the flip side, that I'm sure you saw it as well. There were guys running open in the secondary all day against Chicago when Malik Willis was in. There was a play, obviously, they could have hit Christian Watson. He ends up hitting Luke Musgrave for 30 instead. If he hits Watson, it's a touchdown. Jaden Reed was open all freaking game, and it just either a pressure or Willis not seeing it, et cetera, had some unfortunate effects where they weren't able to hit on some of those. But Matt in both of those games has had – you know, explosive plays drawn up to take advantage of all game long. And I don't know that I necessarily see that changing.
Yes. Two things. One, the Bears run the ball 45% of the time and they're 31st in completion percentage in the league. Those two, that doesn't make any sense, right?
It does not. No.
And then to your point about their defense, you just go watch the Lions game. The Lions game is like, all right, we're multiple coverages, not afraid to play man, bringing a ton of extra pressure, running cover, trying to race Roquan down the middle and cover two versus one of their slot receivers. Like, they do some – not Roquan. What am I talking about? Edmonds. I was just watching a Roquan interview.
I got you.
So they'll play, like, all these multiple coverages, and it really just comes down to, like, can Jordan Love identify the coverage in time? If Jordan Love identifies the coverage, and I know I think these guys are a peer progression team, so maybe he can cut the field. Maybe he can do a faster job of, you know, in per progression, you're usually going like 1 through 5 instead of being able to, you know, cut out some middlemen there. So if he does a good job of cutting out the middlemen based on what they see in coverage, man, like there are, to your point, there's wide ass people open on most plays because plays are, you know, defenses are designed to give up something. You just have to figure out which part of the route combination it is. I will say this, they do look a lot better. Is it Hooper? 94? Hooper or Cooper?
It is. I know exactly what you mean. Give me a second. But
I got it.
Right. It is Austin Booker. Austin Booker.
Austin Booker. Yeah. So he looks like he knows what he's doing now. So if he's not getting a sack, he's applying pressure. They're doing a much better job using him in particular with different games. And, the Bears are going to understand, you know, match patterns from their secondary. They do a great job, obviously, taking away the football. Why do they do that? Because they have pattern recognition and they're just, you know, they're very good, heady football players. But, you know, two, they are playing on a timer. And that timer is based on guys, you know, like Booker being able to get home and create some pressure. And, when you watch these last couple of weeks, I think that's something that they're doing at a much better clip. I feel like he in particular has turned his game up a little bit. And we're seeing, I think, the effects of it for the Chicago Bears. I mean, they have lowered their numbers overall. If you look at the first time we played them to now, if you just look at their team rankings, like the numbers are better. They're still not great, but they are better. And I think that's a lot of that's a function of just being able to find that guy who can create a little bit of pressure in the pass rush.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, so you know what I have no time for in my life anymore? Irritation. And I really don't have time for neck irritation. Now, I've tried just about every form of razor that you could possibly imagine. And no matter what, there always seems to be some sort of issue or irritation that comes from them. That was until I switched to Harry's Plus. Harry's Plus gives you a barbershop quality shave with German engineered blades that are each honed at three different angles to cut hair evenly without tugging. These blades are optimized to glide smoothly and easily, and every cartridge includes a lubricating strip with aloe and vitamin E to calm skin while you shave. And the best part is how affordable it is. Now, Harry's controls the entire process from steel to shelf, and they are able to keep the cost low because of it. So why pay $30 for refills when Harry's gives you better blades for a fraction of that? And right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get the Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/packaday. This set includes the all-new Harry's Plus razor, one refined five-blade cartridge, a 2-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. Just head to harrys.com/packaday to claim this offer, and after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
Booker's got 17 pressures and 4 sacks in his last 4 games, so yep. About a sack a game and about a little over four pressures per game over those, although Green Bay limited him to 1 pressure in their last game that they played, although he did, of course, knock Jordan Love out of that game with a helmet-to-helmet hit, but that's another story. I am interested to see if you know, Chicago can get to Jordan. If not, again, Jordan's been unbelievable when not pressured this year. If that front four for Chicago can't get there, they have to bring either extra players, like you said, then it comes down to how quickly he can diagnose the defense. But when you give him a clean pocket, he's been awesome. I am interested to see if you know, rest is any sort of issue. It's an interesting scenario where the Green Bay Packers have obviously lost 4 in a row. The Bears have lost 2 in a row. It would have been 3 in a row if Green Bay just recovers an onside kick, which would have a totally different connotation to this game as well. But neither of these teams are exactly coming in hot. And, you know, Chicago just played their guys, lost to Detroit. Green Bay did not. And they, you know, obviously easily lost to Minnesota. But I'll be interested. I think once it kicks off, none of that stuff really matters. Yeah. But I'll be interested to see if Chicago either, again, has a little bit just more rhythm from playing last week, if Green Bay has any rust, especially Jordan, from not playing the last couple plus weeks, or if it, again, just doesn't matter once the ball is kicked off.
Well, I think from a physical standpoint, I can tell you it doesn't matter. This is win or go home. So the level of intensity, I think when people talk about the intensity level between like preseason, regular season, and playoffs, I think your top guy, particularly for the regular season playoffs, like your top guys are giving you their all the time. It's like the second string guy, you know, the fringe starter. Those guys tend to take that week more serious preparation wise. They tend to show up and play every rep a little bit harder or more consistently. And that's kind of where, when we talk about like, oh, the intensity level or the jump in intensity from like regular season to playoffs, that's really what you start talking about, is like, it's not like Jerry Rice played as hard as he could every play, right? It's the other guys on the field that change a little bit. So I think the Bears will be, I think they'll be ready to go. I wonder if, you know, having familiarity with a team like this and having to play a team 3 times, it's like how much thinking, overthinking, you know, keeping it simple. Like, what does that game plan for Matt LaFleur look like? You have all this data already. You have personal experience. You have different styles of play. What changes, if any, do you want to make aside from maybe you know, kind of erasing a couple of the routes and drawing up a little bit something different at the top of the route in order to say, no, we really feel good about this matchup. We want to attack this defender. We want to attack this offensive player. We think this lineman's playing terrible. We want to get our best guy on. Like, has any of that changed over the course of the last month? You know, and then it's going to come in and just say, boy, this guy's really like Booker's a great example of Booker's playing really well. Do we need to commit more guys to blocking him because we don't feel good about that matchup with 6'3"? Right. I just don't know. In the first game, that wouldn't have been a thought, but this game it might be, you know, and those are the things that are, you know, kind of, you know, something you want to look out for when you look at a game like this, when it's the third time playing in the season.
If I'm Matt, I'm probably running a lot of the same stuff that I ran the first couple of times, but just out of different formations, different looks, slightly different nuances to it. So it's not that they have so many plays that work the exact same, just out of basically just slightly different looks or variations of it. And the other thing, I probably watch a lot of that San Fran game too. San Fran put up what, 40 some points, similar offenses, similar structures. Obviously they have different players, different things that they do well, yeah. But I take a strong look at that San Francisco tape too and say, all right, what did Kyle have to put up points basically every single drive in that game that Chicago struggled with? But that, I don't think they need to do too much different. I'm not concerned about Green Bay's offense. And I'll just put it this way too. If Green Bay's offense is poor in this game, it's just, you're probably dead on arrival. I don't think you're going to escape that game. So I think their offense is going to be really good, and they're going to probably have to be if they want to win this game.
You'd love to see the offense run the football against a team that you should be able to run the football against. Josh Jacobs is going to be needed, you would think, if they want to go deep in a playoff run. It certainly sets up all the other things that are possible with this team. I think the hard thing, you know, I love the Shanahan offense, and I think I'd follow your lead and watch that as well. But when I just think about running similar plays from different formations in this set, I really start thinking about personnel groupings and what we can and can't bring to the table right now. Sure. and who we want in the game. I like running six linemen against these guys. I like running 12 personnel against these guys. But you know, you just have to think about how effective do you think your tight ends are going to be. You know, if we're looking at from Chicago standpoint, I think their tight ends are very effective in the run and pass. I don't feel that way about the Packers. So this is, you know, let it all hang out. Let's, you know, cut away the fluff and get down to, you know, these are the plays that we run best. We need to run these plays in the moments that count the most. And the players, like the Josh, if he's healthy, you know, the Josh Jacobs of the world, the Zach Toms of the world, when they are available, they need to be at the Jaden Reeds of the world. Like, they need to be out and available as many plays as possible, I think, in these games. I think that's maybe the other difference between the playoffs and now, is like, you've got nothing to save these guys for. So yep. If Christian Watson has to run 27 deep routes this week, then guess what, buddy? That's what we're doing.
It feels like we haven't had that Josh Jacobs signature game yet. Feels like he's due for one of those. Obviously, a lot of that comes down to the offensive line up front. But again, yeah. Chicago's run defense, not great. This would be a great game. I mean, he tried everything in Philly last year to put the team on his back and try to do what he could to get that win. And it just wasn't Green Bay's day or whatever. But I have a feeling Josh Jacobs has something in him, especially after getting a week off, resting that knee a bit, to be fully charged, ready to go against Chicago. And if they can, if they can get their running game going, I don't know how Chicago stops Green Bay. Because again, I expect their offensive, their passing game to be effective. And if Jacobs is running the way that, you know, he could, then it makes it really difficult for Chicago.
That's a great point. You know, it's almost, you know, the thing about Chicago is I would imagine just what all the stats we just spurted out and then just watching them on tape, I would imagine Ben Johnson, and knowing our, we can't rush the passer, like, I would imagine Ben Johnson wouldn't mind playing this whole game in 2 minutes. I mean, aside from the fact that their defense would have to be on the field a lot, like, what about if I was game planning against the Packers right now, and I had a Caleb Williams, and I had all the, you know, I had DJ Moore, and I had Cole Kmet, and I had their running backs. What about our defense wouldn't want to make you run 2 minutes, like, at least to come out in a couple series and do it? And if they played, you know, if we actually could run the football, control the clock a little bit more, and you put them in that situation, like, as crazy as that sounds, because that sounds super advantageous to the Packers, I don't know that Chicago Bears would really mind being in 2 minutes against the Green Bay's defense right now. I think of all the situations that could hurt us, I think that could probably hurt us the most.
I think there's going to be points in this game. You know what game I think this could remind me of is Packers-Lions last year in Detroit. And hopefully a different result. Lions won on a last-second field goal, 34-31, after going for every single fourth down in that game and converting the one at the end to make the field goal even easier and to run the clock entirely out. I could see this being an aggressive game for both coaches where they're both going for points. I don't think it's going to quite get to the 49ers-Bears level that we saw the other week where it's in the 40s or whatever it was, but I think this is going to be an entertaining like 34-31 type of game, game-winning field goal at the end. And again, whoever has the ball last might win this one. I think both of these offenses are at the advantage in this one.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. These defenses, it's amazing. You just go back. It's amazing how much difference Micah Parsons makes. But look, turnover is going to be the name of the game for the Chicago Bears defense, as they always are. I think Caleb had two picks last week. I know one of them wasn't his fault. But that might have been the first game they didn't win the turnover battle in a long time, right? I mean, they're extremely, extremely good at that. And that's kind of been their signature for really the entire season. when you take the turnovers away, they're not a particularly good defense. They're, you know, middle, I think 24th, 25th in giving up points per game. We just talked about all the other statistics. They give up 5 yards a carry. They're not a defense that instills any kind of fear in their offensive counterpart. And unfortunately, without Micah Parsons, we have kind of become that similar type defense as well, except that Xavier McKinney hasn't had his, you know, near double-digit interception total this year. So this is definitely an advantage both sides, both offensive teams, both offensive, you know, obviously coaching staffs, first-round draft picks, a quarterback, a plethora of talent at the receiver position, et cetera. So this is why, I mean, listen, the cool thing about the playoffs, man, is like you started back in – most of these guys started back in February working their asses off. Maybe, you know, coaches are getting new jobs or blah, blah, blah. But you go through this whole process and you work this long season, ups and downs and media and, you know, they love you, they hate you, all this stuff. And then you get to this moment and you made the dance, you know. You make it and you're just like, man, it's almost like having a lottery ticket, you know, the night before the lottery is pulled. It's like, I got my ticket now. You know, all I wanted was the ticket. Anything could happen. You start dreaming about all these different scenarios and this and that. If you're a player and God, it's just such a great time to be an athlete when you actually make the dance, you get your lottery ticket and all the possibilities are endless. You could have been absolute, you know, dog shit at some of these different statistical categories during the course of the year, and it all goes out the window, man. Like the numbers don't matter anymore. The tape does matter, but for four games, can I make this a little bit better? And if the answer is yes, you know, those are the teams that go on big runs.
And then the juxtaposition to that, if you lose that game and the feeling the next day, if your season's over and everything like that, it's a crazy time of year and there's so much at stake. And obviously for fans, for players, for coaches, for everyone, this to me is as good as it gets. Packers, Bears playoff, especially with the games they played this year, rivalry game. These coaches seem to have a little bit against each other. Like it's as good as it gets. I cannot wait. So many high stakes on Saturday night and it's going to be epic.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I always felt like you, once you make it, even when we thought we were going to go to the Super Bowl in 2003, you always feel like you're playing with house money, you know? And I guess that's a way of saying you're like a goldfish and you got the 8 second, you know, memory reset. It's amazing what happens during these games when you know that it's that like the finality of it all is just right in front of you. It's amazing how time slows down and how quickly you can forget a bad play or a good play. You know, it's a unique sensation. I'm sure there's some neurochemistry behind it that I should explore more, but it really is and I'm sure you can say this, you can see this as a fan, like also the vividness of your memories of each play goes up substantially from like week 9, You know, it's just the whole thing, the whole experience is just so great.
Well, you got what, about, let's just say 150 snaps to, you know, 17 game season. Any one snap is one of 2,550 plays on the season. And that one snap, if it's a, you know, Romeo Doubs onside kick recovery or something like that, it can make a major impact. But for the most part, it's one of 2,000. In this, it's just like, it feels the weight of the world is on every snap, where one snap can completely change the outcome of the game at any moment. Last year, very first play of the game, Keyshawn Nixon fumbles the opening kickoff, and just everything almost crumbles from that point forward off of that one play. And we saw in Seattle in 2014 what happened. We saw in the you know, like, just, we've seen all of it. The block punt against San Francisco, obviously the pick by Tremont Williams when Green Bay won the divisional round against Atlanta at halftime. Just that any one play can be the play that either is like the moment that propels you either to victory or even beyond that. Nick Collins pick in the Super Bowl, that the pick six that he had, or it can be the opposite. It just, the weight of every play goes up. I mean, I think of always the same thing in baseball, where like any given pitch in a 162 game season feels almost entirely meaningless. And then you get into the postseason and every pitch is just like, oh my dear God, if you've got your team in the game, like every pitch feels like it's your last one. It's the best time of year. It's absolutely the best.
Can't wait for it. There's a lot of good games this weekend, and it's just like the college football scene right now. Like, I really don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't have a clue who's going to show up for either conference. And, you know, that's exactly what the NFL wants. And I have to say, like, that part of their planning is working. Like, this is an exciting time to be, I think, a football fan in general, because there is a lot of, it feels like the parity, and maybe that's just the rotation of the quarterbacks and everything from older generation to new, but it does feel like the parity there and the level of excitement around these new teams and new faces and new storylines is something that's going to really continue to propel this league.
Cannot wait. I do have a couple things I want to get to, but before, as we just wrap up Packers Bears, any final thoughts, keys, predictions, anything that you want to go over before we wrap Packers Bears?
I think the Packers are the better football team on paper. I really like, I like everything about Ben Johnson. I think he's going to have his team well prepared. This to me is just a cut and dry turnover game. I think if the Packers, you know, if the Packers can limit the turnover situation or keep it in their favor, I think they win because they're just a superior football team. Having said that, the only thing I don't like about Ben Johnson right now is that he's not running the football as well as much as he should. If he figures that out, I think we got a real problem.
I totally agree. Could not agree more. Just a couple other things before we get out of here. 2025 Packers regular season is in the books. Mm-hmm. 9-7-1. Don't think what anyone wanted or expected going into the year. Obviously some extenuating circumstances with that. As we, you know, this season will be defined by what Green Bay does in the playoffs. So it's just kind of a quick look at it, but thoughts on the season as a whole?
Injuries stand out. What we just talked about with the coaching staff and how you respond to injuries, I think is a big deal. I think the most surprising thing for everybody has to be how well the jump in production from Halfley's defense from 2023 to 2024, when he came in, how much better it was. And then inserting Micah Parsons into that and going like, oh my God, we're finally there. And then him getting hurt and just having such a devastating effect on the entire, not just the defense, but the entire team, but like really, you know, the defensive line in particular just being exposed over the course of the last four games since he's been injured, I think has been a really big deal. And look, without going through the whole thing again, I do think that having a losing record against the playoff teams over the last two seasons, being a seventh seed this many times, and the emergence of the Chicago Bears as the, you know, walking in just becoming the division champions, along with the 7 year kind of timeline that, you know, Matt LaFleur has now been there for seven seasons. I think that's like, how long was Mike Sherman there? Like, I think that's super interesting. When you start looking down the barrel of like, do we need a breath of fresh air or not?
Mike Sherman was head coach from 2000 to 2005. So what, 6 years would have been his time as head coach in Green Bay? So
there's six years, very similar, if we're being honest, very similar, you know,
results,
regular season results, kind of lack, you know, good up and down a little bit in the playoffs. So I think, you know, I think all that's, there's a lot of bad football coaches in this league that are head coaches. Matt LaFleur is not one of those. So you're like we said before, if he was to be removed, he's going to get a job quickly, but that also doesn't mean that he is necessarily still the right guy for this job, given that timeline and the results that we've seen.
Roughly 100 games in Mike Sherman's coaching career in Green Bay. What would you guess his record was?
Well, we won. He won every year, I think, except for maybe his first one. I know his last one, he was 4-12. So I'm guessing it's 60-40.
57-39. Pretty freaking spot on. So 9-7 in his first year. They were third in the Central, didn't make the playoffs. Yeah. 12-4, second in the Central, lost to the Rams in the divisional round. 12-4, first in the North, lost to the Falcons in the wild card. 10-6, first in the North, lost to the Eagles in the divisional. We all know that game. 10-6, first in the North, lost to the Vikings in the wild card. And then 4-12. And then that was his last year when he got fired after the 4-12 season.
Yep. So, I mean, there you go. It's kind of, I mean, obviously the 4-12, like, and if we wanted to revisit that, the amount of Marco and I left, Darren Sharper left, I mean, he lost some dudes that year.
Yeah.
And that was the year Brett was like, what are we doing kind of thing. And he got stripped of his general manager role that year, I think, as well, too.
But the point is, it kind of, you know, you kind of start looking at these things and, like, you know, regardless of your, you know, Pete Carroll in Seattle, eventually, like, times, everything runs its course. I'm not saying it has run its course. I just think that it wasn't a very interesting conversation 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago until you introduced some of those stats. And it's a very interesting conversation to me now.
Yeah. We'll see. I think he's back. It's a very, there's a lot of layers to the conversation. I'll just put it that way. I don't think you usually are. I'd love to look at which coaches have been fired after, you know, back to back to back playoff seasons and 6 out of 7 or whatever it's been. It's usually you're seeing the coaches that are fired right now. It's the 3-13 guys, the 2-15. It's mm-hmm. those guys. But mm-hmm. there's always exceptions, and this is a very important game for the franchise.
These are champagne problems. You know, Green Bay has always got champagne problems, though.
Yes,
we got first world problems here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They've always got a, you know, MVP caliber quarterback. You know, they don't have an owner breathing down their neck. I mean, they've got the best facility in the league. Like, you know, so if it was ever going to happen, it would happen. They might go, man, are we not 15-2 right now? Like,
what's going on? Right. No, I get it. It's a really fun conversation.
You shouldn't get rid of good coaches. I just, you know what it is, Andy, like we talked about it a little bit before, but there's something about Matt LaFleur that it doesn't rub me the wrong way, but there's something about him that I really can't put my finger on. I've made some jokes about, you know, this and that and the other, but I can't really put my finger on it. But I don't feel like I don't feel like the team is a tough team. I think the team has tough players on it, but I don't think the team is a tough team. And that, as a ex-player and a fan, I don't like that. I'm sure I'm attributing that directly to him, probably unfairly, but I do.
We'll be right back. It's one of those things where I think it's tough to say exactly what, you know, goes into the secret sauce. Is that the drafting of certain players? Is that the way that Matt coaches? It's probably a little bit of all of it. But I think the other thing too is, whenever you have these conversations, it's always just the pure unknown of, like, all right, so if I don't know, pick a random NFL coach was coaching this team. Would they be better? Would they be worse? Would they be significantly worse? Would they be significantly better? It just, you don't know, like, do they have an unbelievable team and it's not reaching its potential because of Matt? Or are they a pretty average team that's better because of Matt? And those are really difficult things to parse out. And listen, when it feels like you're in the same cycle of playoff team, but not good enough playoff team, you're always asking the question of, is this because they just can't get the one or two more all pro caliber players that they need and Goody needs to do a better job? Is this because they've got the players, but Matt's not getting the most out of them? And if you're looking at that side of things, well, a loss to Carolina, a loss to Cleveland, and some of those are the ones you're pointing to and say, hey, you had Micah Parsons for those games. You had Tucker Kraft for the Cleveland game. You had Tucker Kraft elite to the start of the Carolina game, and you couldn't win those games. So I think there's always that unknown of, could it be better? And I think what we sometimes fail, it could be a lot worse too. And it just, but you also don't want to like be afraid of that. You don't want to be afraid of like, well, it could be worse. Well, you're trying to be the best. You're trying to be the single last team standing at the end of things. And if you ever get to that point where you feel like, hey, Matt just can't get to that level, then it's a real conversation. I don't care if you made the NFC Championship game like Andy Reid a billion times in a row or whatever. If eventually you've reached your ceiling and you can't get past that, then it's a fair question to ask, and they have to ultimately have that discussion.
Who's okay? So NFC North.
Yep.
You got Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
You got Ben Johnson, and you got Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I get you.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. So then Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan Gannon just got fired from Arizona, right?
Yep.
Okay. Pete Carroll just got fired.
Stefanski
got fired. Everybody's thinking that Stefanski's coming here anyways. I mean, it's a conversation, you know, piece. Daboll got fired.
Yep.
Like, I could make a really compelling argument, I think, that all of those guys could come to Green Bay and have success.
I think you're probably right. Dable would be, I would have loved for Dable to be the offensive coordinator next year. I don't think they can get rid of Steno, but if Steno were to get like a offensive coordinator job with play calling duties somewhere, like adding Dable's mind into the offense, just a different wrinkle, I think would be really fun. But yeah, we'll see.
Interesting.
Stefanski too. Stefanski would probably be good in that role too.
He's going to be a head coach, man.
I think so too. Favorite playoff matchup this week?
Ooh. Probably this one. I think, let's see, what are the other good ones though? The Rams are going to beat the hell out of the Panthers. Who the Niners got?
Eagles. 49ers Eagles is a good game.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what nobody talks about with like the last Niners game, right? Trent Williams not playing is such a big deal. They don't even bring it up on TV, but it's like, dude, he erases their entire, like, you know, the entire side of the defensive line. So I think if he's playing, I think they said he could have played if there was a Sunday game. So if he's playing, I think that's an awesome matchup. If he's not playing, I think they got real. I think that the Eagles. What's also too interesting about the Eagles pass rush is almost exclusive. Jalen Phillips has played pretty well, but the Eagles pass rush, if you watch their games, like pressure wise, is almost exclusively their interior. The three guys that play in the inside, like Jordan Davis, Carter, and then 97. I forgot his name.
But they put
together the majority of the pass rush. So it's kind of an interesting team. The way that they are able to, you know, obviously stay in base against a lot of stuff and play that 5-2, that 3-4 look, but also like the way that they pressure quarterbacks is a little bit unique, just because it's always coming from the middle. It's always coming from the A gaps. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Brock Purdy handles that.
Eagles 4.5-point favorites, somewhat surprisingly, in that game. Buffalo and Jacksonville is a good one. Chargers and Patriots is a good one. Even Texans, Steelers. I think all of those. It's just a really fun week of football.
Yeah. I heard a stat. The Jags have won by like an average of like 18 points. It's like some ridiculous thing over the last third, like during their winning streak. And I think the Bills game, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Jaguars beat the Bills.
I wouldn't either. They beat the Chargers 35-6, then somehow went to overtime with the Cardinals and tied the Cardinals, beat the Titans by 22, beat the Colts by 17, beat the Jets by 28, beat Denver by 14, beat Indianapolis by 6, beat Tennessee by 34. That's a pretty good run of play.
Yeah. So they're not beating people. They're embarrassing people. So at home, Trevor Lawrence looks like a different quarterback now. I think they're number one against the run on defense. Yeah, that's a good squad, man. That's a good squad. Yeah. You go into the season, you think like Lamar Jackson, oh, it's his time. He's finally going to get one. Then he gets hurt and he isn't, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. And then you think like, oh, Josh Allen's the MVP. You know, he's got to get time. And I'm not sitting here thinking like Josh Allen's going to, if they're out the first round, I'm not surprised at all.
Nope.
I'm not.
You know? Nope.
And I think the Patriots, you know, God forbid they had to go play the Patriots again. I think you got problems there. Denver's ridiculous.
Is there any game that would surprise you this week other than Panthers over the Rams?
Let me preface this by saying if the Steelers get DK and I think Darnell Washington had surgery, but if he was playing, I think that they would – I think that would be a really fun game against that Texans defense. If those guys are not – for whatever reason, if Darnell Washington can't play and they can't go into their sixth linebacker.
I think Washington's out. I think he's on IR. Yeah. So I think
he's
done.
He's on IR. Okay. I would be surprised if the Steelers beat the Texans. I think the Texans are going to put it on them.
Texans favored by 3 in that game. I think you're right, yeah. though. I think you're right. I think that's a tough matchup for Steelers offense. Gainwell's been playing great. Both their running backs have been playing really well, though. We'll see. Should be fun. It's Super Bowl prediction?
I don't have one, man. Who's been just undeniably? That's what we were just talking about before. Like, who's been undeniably good here? There's nobody who's undeniably good. I mean, the best team I've seen play is probably, like, some of the Patriots games, but I know, you know, you talk about their strength of schedule and this and that, but like, you want to talk about like a complete football team. The Broncos have looked really good. The NFC, I love the Seahawks, but you just kind of wait for the shoe to drop with the quarterback play a little bit.
Yep.
But having said that, like getting to play up in Seattle for the entire time here and plus having a bye means you only have to win two games with that defense. You know, I'd be tough to bet against the Seattle Seahawks right now.
They're a really good team. I can't wait. Can't wait for any of it. Mike, I cannot thank you enough for both the live show as well as the podcast here today. We will definitely catch up next week one way or the other, win or lose. I look forward to that. Hopefully we're talking about Packers Seahawks next week in a very difficult matchup going to Seattle, but it'll be fun to break down nonetheless. Hopefully we're talking about that. Obviously at Mike Wall 68 Process to Perform. Anything else you want to plug on the way out?
That's it. I'll do a preview show here in a couple of days for this matchup. But Andy, as always, been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, always a pleasure as well, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. And for everyone out there, enjoy this week. It's going to be a fun one. We'll talk to you soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.